Data Transfer, Season 2, Episode 34, and I am Audrey.
And I'm Corla.
And we are not joined by anybody today. We had a nice little run of guests there for a second, but this is going to be a little more Classico style.
It just us.
How are you, my beloved baby darling child?
Cutie? I'm doing great. Well, it's mixed. I have some tooth issues I'm dealing with, and they suck. When it hurts, yeah. It fucking hurts, and it's like teeth everything I can think about.
I'm largely anti-tooth.
You're against the tooth industrial complex.
I don't like teeth. That sucks. I hate that you're having tooth problem.
But been playing good games.
Good games.
Checking out new games, most of which have been good. And I had a delightful time at my partner's.
Yay!
Yesterday evening, stayed the night, came back over. I'll talk more about that in a bit because there's some fun stuff in there. Nice. But how are you?
Pretty good. Been doing well at work to the point where like I owned up to a slight understandable mistake that I had made and asked if I could close more often so that I could get more practice doing the thing that I messed up. And my boss goes, nobody has ever asked to get more closes in the history of Earth. And also, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Your Christian guilt is showing. Stop it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You really hate yourself, don't you? Don't do that. Yeah. Other than that, we have been playing through Elden Ring. Some more. Having a good time with that.
Game blazing
from a
through.
Number of years ago. Yeah. Really.
Each play
ass.
Session. Might be a little bit spread apart because again, tons of games to play.
Yeah,
but when we get into it, we are fucking blazing through in a way that I did not expect. Partly because my first character statted like the first time we ever played, I statted full on into holy damage.
Yeah,
and for the life of me, couldn't find any flame arts or lightning shit to make up for that. And a little thing about Elden Ring: every late game boss has a ton of holy resistance.
Yep.
The final boss is almost fully immune to the shit. So
you're fighting gods.
Yeah, so that. I was not well prepared for the back half of the game the last time. This time, I am. And I'm bonking my way through with a big blue sword.
Yeah, she's doing Moonlight Greatsword.
Yeah, bear with a big blue sword. and it's a fantastic little time. Having a great time getting all gay about Fia. Who is very emotionally unavailable. She has her own shit going on. She's got a project of a man she's putting back together.
I will hug you for sure. Like, trust.
I will hug you. You do have to let me steal some of your life force.
Yeah, I need
that. But I'll hug you.
I need that for my man.
Yeah. Exactly. It's she's kind of Godwin's Ghislaine Maxwell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she's doing the predating herself
directly exactly.
Instead of being like a facilitator.
That's incredible. Oh, fuck. That's great. I, for my part, am doing
release
a Dex Arcane build.
Files.
Release the Fia files. You simply must. it would be the Godwin file.
The Godwin file. No, that's a great point. Oh God, we need the Mikla files out immediately.
Oh yeah, that's got it. The public deserves to know
his fucking the shit that is associated with him that you can use literally charms enemies to your side.
Yeah,
like, that's fucked up, dog.
The way he fucking used Renala.
Yeah, and then in the DLC ends up using Radahn and uses Moog throughout. Like the time leading up to when you play in Elden Ring.
I will cop to this. And now this is not probably the best thing to say out loud on a podcast when I'm preparing to appear on a podcast about Elden Ring. I have no idea what's going on.
We'll watch a lore video. Don't worry about it. We'll catch you up
through.
On the missing gaps.
I go find shitheads I don't like and then kill them. And sometimes I find shitheads that I like and I kill them anyway.
I feel like I need more balance towards your side of the playstyle. Because sure. I'm definitely running, I'm set a goal and sprint for it, because unless you get the thing you're looking for or a sight of grace that's closer, you haven't made progress when you die. Ultimately, you haven't actually made another stop on the journey. You just kind of got yoinked back to the last one. So
I love
very focused combat. On forward progress.
I love the combat in these games so much. It tickles my brain in exactly the right way that I'll just go around and fight people. Like, I'm not even going to get a thing. There's nothing. These guys aren't guarding anything. They're standing in the middle of an open field with nothing around. And I'm like, I'm pointing at the camera for reference.
No, yeah, like, you look up there. That's the wall, brother.
Does Horalu give you a suplex? Is there a way to suplex with Horalu's weapon?
I have no idea with his weapon.
I might go strong.
He doesn't really do he does like a pile driver if he gets a hold of you.
Yeah, that's true. He does just kind of pick you up and slam you into the fucking ground. It's so good.
It works too.
That's a Dark Souls content creator who I have a lot of respect for. I choose to call him Gary Butterman because I think it's funny. Has a lot of problems with Horalu as a concept. Because he's like, this whole game, you're rolling around, you're fighting people with swords, dragons, like high fantasy stuff. And then there's a fucking wrestler as one of the last bosses. What the fuck is that?
So fucking sick.
It's incredible.
It's part of my theory that every video game can be improved with the addition of a single wrestler. Chrono Cross is better for having a Catholic priest who's also a luchador.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking, what was his name? Is it Macha?
No, Macha is the little fucking shit kid. Let me look it up.
Oh, the fish asshole. Yeah.
Greco.
Greco. His name's even Greco. Greco-Roman wrestling. But he's a luchador. Why not?
Japan loves lucha. At least that's the true. Cool people in Japan do.
Fuck it, everybody likes lucha. What are you talking about? Everybody.
Anyone who's actually had the chance to watch some is like, oh, this shit rules, actually.
Yeah, this shit's actually extremely cool.
This is actually, like, theater and also the peak of physical physique in some ways.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and press this button about luchador.
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
Cool. I'm going to get very confused in the edit.
Yeah, other than that, not a whole lot happening in my life. Just kind of playing video games and working my ass off. Oh, not true. I started a DJ stream.
Yay!
Didn't talk about it on here yet. It's called DJ Holpix. That's DJ Zero PIX on twitch.tv/DJ0PIX. I'm going to start stream. It's Tuesday nights. I'm going to stream. Probably about 10 to 11:30, 12. I've decided.
Yay! Caught one. It was a lot of fucking fun. I mean, I've always enjoyed your fucking DJing, so it's not much different when it's through Twitch.
But I have,
there's just like some artists you can't use.
That's true. I can't play any Prince, which is not good. I went
Macklemore, was it?
Not Macklemore. Yeah, it is Macklemore. I thought you said McElroy for a second.
I do keep running into names that are similar to McElroy and doing a double take. Like, no, not that Justin. Okay.
Oh, shit. Holy fuck.
I thought he got really into woodworking, which does kind of sound like what he would do in his 40s.
That's what fucking Justin did.
Oh, yeah, he literally did, didn't he?
He literally did get into woodworking.
It was a bad example.
He's trying to increase his Jesusity, I think. I think he's trying to, like, become more Christ-like.
It's, you know what, you hit the button, so I do actually get to talk about this. While I was at my partner's, we were casually watching some porn while they were playing Enter the Gungeon, and
Enter the Porn Gen.
We found one that's like the free use office.
Oh, fun. Oh, I've seen this one. You showed me this.
Okay, I did show that one. That one's fun. That's great. No, this is like a scripted thing. With a bunch of, you know, very obviously porn star physique porn star people pretending to be working in an office, but also like they're getting fucking pounded while they're going through like meetings and papers, talking about the culminating scene is like 15 minutes and it's a presentation, but the woman giving the presentation is getting, first she's getting just slammed from behind, and then she's got a huge dick like going into her cheek. She's like, while she's KPIs. Trying to talk about 69.3% tungsten and making connections in the Japanese market.
And that's fucking awesome.
We could not stop laughing. It was the funniest shit. It's like really this is funny. This is infinitely better than another Germa video right now.
I do so love it when pornography can be used, like, can heighten the comedy of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's like porn is funny. People are fucking.
It's
porn
can fucking be silly.
It is. It was Marc Maron who described porn actors and actresses as sex clowns.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really good, actually.
Yeah.
Although it does infringe upon the actual sex clown subculture, which is...
Of course, and we would never...
Honk honk a wooga. Spraying cum from my flower.
You want to talk about Digimon?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me catch my fucking breath. This is fucking stupid, and this is the funniest shit to me.
This episode is entitled Destiny and Doubt in the English dub, or the episode that we watched, Defend the Holy Point.
Yeah. Protect the Holy Point.
The synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it.
It's not tamers. They're all going to be stubs.
Yeah. I'm imagining that tamers is going to have a fewer number of stubs.
It's going to have some, but I imagine it's going to have less.
Here's the hope. Black War Greymon continues his destruction of Destiny Stones.
He is flying there, like, parallel to the ground with his arms out, but he's not flapping, so it's not bird-style flight.
Right.
And there's no like, energy trail, like in Dragon Ball. There's no, like, hover boots active or anything. It's just kind of like a cheap Gundam, like, animation loop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's only like 2 or 3 feet off the ground. So he flies like I do when I'm having a dream.
That's awesome. I bound in my dreams when I'm flying.
It never works for me in my dreams.
I jump real high and then float down to the ground and then jump real high.
It always becomes an anxiety thing about how and where I'm going to land.
Oh, I'm just cool. I'm just good like that. I love the dreams where you wake up and you swear to God you could remember how you did that.
Yeah.
Those feel so cool.
I've had dreams throughout my life where I wake up with like half formed lyrics.
Ooh.
It's never any good. Although the last one was very funny. It's something on fuck. I'm like deciding whether I can have the courage to say dream rap lyrics.
Now that we know that they're extant, we're gonna need to hear the cringe. Them.
Oh, ouchie. Ooh. No, we're moving on.
Okay. All right. You've just terribly disappointed everybody, myself included, but that's
sorry.
Okay.
I fear judgment.
Black War Greymon is determined to find the stones. What is it? Determined to find the stones before he does, meaning Black War Greymon. The kids go out.
From?
The real world, which they were in for a time. And then during that time, Izzy shows up and goes, hey, I upgraded the D3s again. Download the software to them. And then you can track the distortions that Black War Greymon creates. I can make the software do stuff that you need it to have.
Yeah.
Because I'm Izzy.
Yeah. No, he's first of all, the goat, always.
Yeah, so cool.
It's Izzy and it's Gomamon are the eternal goats.
Can you imagine if Izzy and Gomamon were partners?
They don't complement each other the same way, though.
Not the
they
same
really
way.
Don't. They're both too competent. They would get up their own asses about it.
Yeah.
Tentomon is at least there to be like, hey, I know that Adderall's kicking, and remember to blink. Here's some water.
Talk to your friends.
Talk to your
friends. Don't just look at your computer all day.
I really like you. Have a very good Tentomon.
Thank
great.
You.
They're also the babies are being fed. This is important. The synopsis is never going to talk about all the little things, and I love when it's just a bunch of little Digimon blobs eating food and Daisuke being like, leave me some. I'm also hungry. eating, was it called Yatuhashi?
Gruffling at fucking Yatuhashi.
Yo, they are slurping that shit. They need to chew. Or do they? I don't know.
What was the maybe Simpsons they're like
birds, they like... have digirocks in their stomach.
Could be. Homer eats like a pig. Nah, pigs tend to chew. He eats more like a duck.
Yes, Digimon eat like ducks. You're absolutely right. Just
Cody notices TK's mood change and goes with him in search of the stones, says the synopsis.
I mean, that is true. We have, weirdly, the main thing is focusing on fuck, I forget his
Iori?
Iori and TK, Takeru. But fucking Miyako Yole is the linchpin of this episode. Everything is about her is so fucking perfect in this one. First of all, she's the one to bring in the information about the four gates sealing away something about the digital world and the four gods associated with them.
Yeah.
And she has a gift for Iori when for
Kushiro.
Easy. She has a gift for him when he arrives, and he's just like, oh, thanks, cool. Anyway, here's some stuff I did for y'all.
Cool, yeah, I upgraded your D3s. Thanks for the wall scroll, I guess, decor. I don't know. That did anything for me.
And fucking, she also just, like, crumples to the first bit of compliment.
Yeah.
And just she truly is, like, a trans femme bisexual disaster, and we love her very much.
I identify very heavily.
But yeah, the reason they leave is because they've got Black War Greymon in their sights, and they're like, there's something to do with, like, something sealed off in the digital world, or between the digital world and the real world.
Yeah. And then they posit the existence of, because Izzy's like, okay, so we got real world, that's this line, we got digital world, that's this line, and we got the dark ocean, that's this line.
Yes, they just straight up say it is a separate third dimension that runs in parallel.
And then fucking TK is like, but what about these ones? There's more out there. I know there is.
Like, yeah, there's more that we don't know anything about.
And then Kari seems to posit that when the distortions happen and they start to swirl around each other, what happens when every color is combined? You get black. And that's how you get the dark ocean, actually.
That the combination, if the stones keep breaking, their theory is that all of the parallel worlds will begin blending together and create nothingness, essentially.
Yeah. Seems bad.
Yeah.
And
they're
so
gonna stop it.
They're gonna give it a shot. They're gonna see what
they
can do.
Try.
I was reading through a few things, looking for transcripts actually for this episode because there were some quotes I was trying to find, but I couldn't find a Japanese script of this. But something that I noticed is that this has been an arc entirely of failure for our heroes.
Yes,
they have been just eating shit every episode, which I always enjoy. I like it when a protagonist can get fucked for a minute. When everything's just winning all the time, that's really tough.
That's what makes the good parts of Jujutsu Kaisen so strong, is that the heroes are losing way more often than they're winning, so that when they do win, it fucking hits.
Like, fuck yes, way to go. Iori focusing so much on TK's like mood and duality in this is interesting.
Yes, like he's preoccupied with TK because he knows they're the last two left for Jogress, right?
Yeah,
their Digimon have to fuse eventually, but he can't fucking understand the guy. Like, he's seeing him display two different, very like wildly different personality types at any given time.
He was the one who saw him beat the shit out of Ichijoji
out of Ken, forgot he kicks his ass. I just remember him like taking a whip to the face and not caring.
Yeah, he just no sells the whip and walks through it, just poises through that shit.
Yeah, just and then grabs it the second time and then comes in and pummels the man to the ground.
Yeah,
he's seeing a rageful side of this kid, and yet also he's generally the nicest and most understanding kid in the group.
And we'll go back to the things that he's seen, because there's a great flashback scene later in the episode. Blackwar Greymon finds it, the Destiny Stone, as Angemon digivolves into Magna Angemon when in contact with the Destiny Stone. Just skip fucking thing.
This one looks like one of the stone tablets. Like, it looks like he's just, he's destroying a relic of Moses.
Yeah, the first one in the episode does, yes.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes and blows up the Holy Stone, and we see our first glimpse of what I call chained up dragon asshole.
Well, okay. You keep asking what this is, and they've been talking about it since the previous episode, right? There's these four gods.
Yeah, it's some kind of
guarding the barriers between the digital world and the real world. And so presumably this is one of those, right?
Yeah, these stones are maybe like anchors for their power to like utilize them to make this happen. Possibly.
Who knows? Possibly.
They leave the digital world after having the Holy Stone destroyed, and they like fall back and they're like, okay, we got to figure out what we're going to do here. There's some cute scenes of Iori and Upamon talk about kendo and concentration.
It's what, oh fuck, where is this, where I go? Yeah, teach me to use a sword. I want to go Armadillomon sword mode.
That's so cute.
It's so cute.
Upamon's the best. What's not the best are night sweats, which is what fucking TK wakes up with. And we were talking about the experience of like having a nightmare about something happening to a partner of yours and then waking up next to them and they're there and they're fine.
Yep.
And how disorienting that is.
It sucks.
It's ass. It's complete ass. And in this case, TK wakes up in night sweats after having a nightmare about all the horrible things that have happened to the digital world in his time. And in particular,
Angemon sacrificing himself.
Yes, that particular time. Yeah. When he's fighting Devimon.
I mean, like, there's a really strong juxtaposition. Like, TK is twice as tall as he was in the original series. And seeing that difference back to back, and like seeing little kid TK watch his friend fucking die in front of him, and then like teen TK wake up and then look at the little baby form of him and smile and poke him, I was crying a little bit. Yeah. It's very affecting. It's a powerful, quiet moment, and I don't want to think about how the dub treated it.
It's just like 80-yard fucking thought bubble shit. Oh, thank goodness he's okay, as opposed to actually having the contemplative moment, you know.
Yeah, because the dub writers write as if every character is Garfield. Just like has a constant like sarcastic inner monologue going at all times that sometimes slips out.
Fuck. Dub writers would be a good name for a DJ duo.
Yo, that is pretty good.
I like dub writers. We're skipping a whole bunch there to go to that. So
they're back in the world.
They're back in the digital world, and they're like, they have figured out where the next Holy Stone is based on the course that Blackwar Greymon is following.
That's what they're trying to do. No, it's Gabumon who comes in and tells them the precise location of the next stone.
I know where it is. And he manages to catch, like, they split up, and Gabumon manages to catch everybody but Iori and
TK. Yeah.
So they show up to the fight a little later, but the other two Jogra's teams manage to.
That makes
to
more
find
sense why like it's in the fight that they have to deal with the soul thing. Yeah, Gabumon also has a message from Agumon that like, hey, do with this what you will, but Blackwar Greymon has a soul despite being made of the Dark Towers.
And TK's like, don't give a fuck, gotta kill him.
He's like, I understand. He's still doing harm by existing, so we do have to kill this man.
Right. The quote I have from later in the episode is, I feel the consciousness of darkness. I heard you have a soul, which Dark Tower Digimon should not have. You should not exist in this world.
Right. It's
excellent. And an excellent clapback from Blackwar Greymon. What? I don't remember needing your permission to exist.
Yes. Like, this is genuinely like one of them morally gray tokusatsu moments.
Yeah. Where like, you're like kind of rooting for the villain because the hero is taking a very narrow view of what is possible for the
villain. Black and white position of like there is no chance to incapacitate you and lead you to reform. I just have to kill you now.
Right.
Yeah.
No good. No good. We don't love it.
And fascinating that this is coming from someone with an angel Digimon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, famously, particularly in Japanese media, discussing or using imagery from Christianity, but in the history of Christianity as well, angels famously a symbol of, like, dogmatic, like, edicts from God.
Yeah, of the law.
Yeah, precisely, yes. It's they what they say is law because it is straight from God. And if you try to fuck them, you will all die.
Yeah, everybody gets to die if you want to fuck them.
Pillars of salt.
Man, I always heard about that thing where it's like, you know, you show up in Sodom or Gomorrah and, like, you just roll into town and, like, hey, welcome, you want to fuck?
It's rude, like, not to, actually.
I'm like, I want to go there. What the fuck? Yeah, like, that's great.
Okay, on the other hand, they did essentially be like,
coercive.
Hey, yeah, we will fuck this angel regardless of if they want to. And that's rude of you to try to stop us.
That's no good. Can't do that.
Yeah, boundaries and consent matter.
But I've always imagined Fuck Island. I've always wanted to go to Fuck Island where everyone's just down. It's all groovy. Just like, you know, you just walk up to a big pile of people writhing and go, like, can I get a corner? We good? And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. Here, eat this butt. And you're like, yes.
Yeah. And you can break off, get yourself some lemon squares and water.
Yeah, get some lemon squares and orange juice. Yeah. A lot of citrus. I don't know why.
It's true. You're thinking of an island. It's tropical.
Yeah, yeah. Pineapple and shit. All the cum tastes so good.
Coconut and pine. You make yourself a pina colada in someone's butt and then you shit it out for you.
I mean, pick up and shake them. Fuck. So. They managed to find the stone, and it's a Final Fantasy VIII save point.
It's literally an aetherite crystal from FF14. Yeah. It's like, I expect to see a Kuluyaku pick that shit up in the crossover.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the note I have here is Jogris time.
Yeah, we get the double Jogris.
Black War Greymon shows up. We get our first example of double Jogris by Ildramon and Sylphimon. Get it together. And once again, being the kind of autistic I am, the scale is very good to me. Pyildramon being about 8 feet tall, Sylphimon being about 5 feet tall. I like the good guy who's a little bigger, good guy who's a little smaller. I like that.
Yeah. Black War Greymon's about in the middle.
Yeah. And they go to fight him. And
they job hard.
They're trying. Fucking Sylphimon gets a good shot in, but Black War Greymon then fucking riposts and knocks him into the fucking wall. It's no good.
Yeah.
They're not going to win this.
They can't get any momentum at all.
Right. They're maybe getting some hits in. They're doing damage, but there's no way that the fucking Estus will not hold out. They can't.
No.
They're not going to make it. Then TK shows up, and TK and Iori show up, and they're watching Black War Greymon, you know, beat up their friends or whatever, and they're seeing the potential danger in the Holy Stones being destroyed. And TK flashes back through every horrible thing he's ever witnessed of people in pursuit of evil, in pursuit of what Black War Greymon is embodying.
Get a tiny flash of you know, the death of Angemon, the death of Waymon.
Yeah.
All this shit. Like Ken himself and what he let Chimeramon do.
Yeah, the Chimeramon bombardment of the city, where all the Digimon were presumably, you know, 50,000 Digimon were just killed by Chimeramon.
Yeah. And he comes out of that trauma flashback like, I'm gonna kill him.
I'm gonna kill him. I got it. There's nothing we can do. We just have to fucking kill him. And even Iori is like, even now, no Jogris? This isn't enough?
I love this here because TK is too in himself to even think of the possibility. Like, sure. He says for a second, Jogris, no wait, ultimate evolution.
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute, wait, nope, I've done this before, we're going ultimate.
And it's genuinely genius. He's two in himself because of his trauma, and also the decision he's making is to refuse to accept the humanity and the right to live of his opponent.
Yeah.
Which goes in line with refusing to accept the companionship and humanity of his Jogress partner. It's, sure. He cannot see outside himself, and he is too full of hatred for a being to understand compassion in that moment.
You want
to
know what's wacky?
Hmm.
Iori is the same thing, and he is he does it because he has it for Ken.
And in fact, when TK has his outburst about this, Ken like takes it like a punch to the fucking chest. He staggers back because he's like, "Oh, oh, that was me. That was me until like last week. Oh fuck.
Yeah. Oh, that's no good." And no wonder TK beat like, dog shit out of me that one time.
Does TK still hate me? And is he wrong to do so? And lot of good emotions coming from multiple characters in this moment. From Patamon to TK to Ken, Iori, and Blackwar Greymon. Fantastic little exchange here.
Patamon digivolves into Angemon very briefly, only to mega... What do they call it? Something digivolve?
It's Ultimate Shinkai, I think.
Yeah, Ultimate Shinkai becomes...
Magna Angemon in English, Holy Angemon in Japanese. I'm going to call him Magna Angemon because that's what I grew up with. It's cooler.
It's cooler to me. Because Angemon's already holy.
He's already holy. What do you, like, it should be Arc Angemon, right?
Yes.
If you're going to go up a level of angel,
it should be Principality Mon.
Cherubmon.
Yeah.
Well, Cherubimon is a thing. But...
Yes. As a Seraphimon.
Thronemon, even.
Ooh, Thronemon's cool. Judgemon.
Metatramon.
Metatramon. Metatronmon. Metatronmon.
Metatronbon. We're doing the finger guns. It's great. I love my girlfriend.
They have the moment that we described earlier where Magna Angemon gives the monologue, "I feel the consciousness of darkness. I heard you have a soul. That shit ain't matter. You shouldn't exist." Right. Blackwar Greymon goes, "I certainly do, and I didn't need to ask you if that's cool.
I didn't need your permission."
Magna Angemon draws a circle in the air and creates the fucking the seal of power, or whatever the fuck it's called.
He does Rose's move from Legend of Dragoon, where she just opens a gate to heaven or limbo, I guess, but it's a fucking dimensional door to a death dimension.
Gate of Destiny.
Gate of Destiny.
And for once, Blackwar Greymon is actually in trouble because he starts to be drawn into the fucking gate. And he's like, nope, we ain't doing this. And fucking Gaia forces the Holy Stone into oblivion.
Which the show then seems to imply is part of what empowers Holy Digimon in general, because Magna Angemon immediately loses the suck.
Yeah, the suction is defeated entirely in the destruction of the holy point, holy stone, holy, you know, they've named them like three different things.
We got him on tail ring, right? She's also, she also becomes Angelmon. She is an angelic Digimon eventually. So I guess they're both connected to the holy stones in that way. If she has like a ring identical to what they have, I hadn't thought about that, and they haven't really expanded on it. Except right here, where it becomes a weakness.
Yeah, there's some interesting potential there. And I want to say that this is explored more in the video games, particularly like Typal stuff and like empowering different things.
Yes, absolutely.
They sort of half imply it here. Like when Magna Angemon appears and is like shining. And like has the light coming off of Mummy Mon.
Mummy
like,
Mon is just fucking burning in the holy
light.
Because he's undead. Yeah. And also, the paper can catch fire because
it's bad.
It's paper.
Can you imagine being paper, man, in fire?
Paper skin and glass bones.
You call me Mr. Glass. You ever see that movie, Unbreakable?
No.
With Bruce Willis?
What was the Unbreakable Split Glass? Is that the whole McElroy bit? That's all I know about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because Mr. Glass had his own movie, which they didn't need to fucking do. I know SLJ's got to get a paycheck. You didn't have to do a whole Mr. Glass movie. let's see. As long as you were created to use the power of darkness, I will destroy you. Turns out no, because your shit got Gaia forced. Yeah. And we once again see the creature that I will once again describe as chained up dragon asshole.
Yeah. Which I do you want me to give a name?
I mean, I'll learn it.
Okay.
I'll learn it soon enough, I imagine.
We don't what get do a you good enough image of him for me to feel like he's been introduced. So I'm not doing his porn this time. And for the record, like how we there was no one else new this time either.
Sure. Like how we did Devimon. Like we would see him, but we didn't introduce him.
Right. Because we saw his silhouette.
Yes.
And
which is basically what we see here.
Yeah. We're seeing like a interdimensional flash of this guy, I guess. Just kind of writhing in pain.
Yeah. Shit don't count. What does count, of course, is our rating of this episode. What do you give this episode on a scale of rookie to mega?
Got this one. Fuck. It might get a mega.
Yeah.
Because emotionally, very resonant, good fights. We get a lot of beams this time. We get a scene we didn't touch on where Mummymon and Arcanimon join in to keep the fusion boys off of Black War Greymon long enough to go for the stone. That's why Angemon needs to jump in there.
Yeah.
When they turn it around when they get the upper hand on Arcanimon and Mummymon, Sylphimon starts slapping the shit
out
of Arcanimon, just takes her at both hands, open palm, whap, whap, whap,
right in like the exactly fucking that noggin. Motion too, like just like arms flailing, like fuck you,
and her head turning like fucking 100 degrees each time, just blah, blah, blah. Ow, ow, it looks rough, and it's also extremely funny
hitting her with the R1 combo.
Yeah, gets it for it too, because gets a fucking gun pointed right to her noggin, their noggin. Yeah. I should probably refer to the fusions as like plural, because they do use both voices interchangeably.
That is true, and they're simultaneously.
Simultaneously, yeah, they are composite beings, but also
assault creatures.
The halves are still conscious, separate from each other. I'm not plural. We got to get plural guests to explain the shit to me.
There was a class version that you could take in D&D 3.5 called a gestalt character, and you
could
take gestalt levels, and you basically just level up twice, taking all of the abilities and the best save and the best, you know, base attack bonus from each class, and you make the one class
and making full progression down both. Yeah,
and no, that's for when you're a fucking nerd, when you're a hyper nerd that has to have the best character. You do those ones.
Min max to the extreme. Now, as I recall, there was like a massive like XP requirement penalty for each level.
Not that I recall.
Okay.
I want to say it's just like ask your DM if you can have gestalt levels. And then I want to say it was in Complete Asshole was the book that it was in for D&D 3.5. I'm gonna give it an ultimate. I think it didn't meet the absolute limits of what was possible for an episode.
I might be losing sight of what a mega is, because I feel like I would have given mega to like I would have gone for ultimate normally on this.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you're allowed to give a generous mega.
It really hit me. There were several moments in this that made me fucking cry. So,
and,
as,
yeah, 100%.
As far as emotional impact, I stick.
If I shed a tear, it's a damn mega. Like, period. And we take estrogen, so it's not that hard.
It's not very hard. I cried at Shrek 2.
I cry at like commercials sometimes.
In fairness, Shrek 2 can be a very affecting film. I don't want to like deny the work of the hard work of the animators at DreamWorks at that time. they knew their job and they did it well.
That's right. You cry at like a Dawn soap commercial because it's like that mom loves her daughter so much. They know what they're doing. Let's see. And I know what we're doing. I know what we're doing next.
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
Yay! I'm gonna let you... Okay, so there's only two.
Okay,
so I'm gonna pick one which each. One. I'll let you pick right. Which one you want first.
I'm gonna do the second one.
Okay.
I'm just gonna switch it up on you. A little switch. Oh my god! Okay.
This one made me crack up so loud, I like peaked the mic earlier.
There's the artist's name is Puppy Anim Pep Puppy Emanade Meminade.
Puppy Emanade, yeah.
Puppy Emanade.
Like lemonade without the L.
And there's a little dog. I think a dog boy, maybe.
There's a maybe pussy, a dog girl? But that doesn't pussy, say anything. But that
could
so.
Be a dog boy still, yeah. And he's on like a chair. They is on a chair. And they got their face buried in a nutsack of a horse penis individual who says, "Good slut, fall in love with my sweaty nuts while being fucked in the ass.
Fall in love with me, Amelie."
While being fucked in the ass by another horse penis individual who we do not see their bodies that other line than just like their legs.
Kills me. We were talking about how porn can be silly, right?
Yeah.
And like, good slut, fall in love with my sweaty nuts. One is a 10 out of 10 line for someone who's into that and in the mood at the time.
Yeah.
Two, funniest shit in the world if you're not in that headspace.
Fall in love with my sweaty nuts. I'm in love with the sweaty nuts.
I love it. No, but it is genuinely a well done and quite an enticing drawing, I would say.
Doing it for you.
We have a lot of sweat and we have gaseous and liquid sweat all over this image. We got sweaty balls, we got sweat clouds, sweat all over the back floating. And butt. Yeah. We got like lube all over the dicks and pre-cum.
Sure.
It's a very wet image once you start looking in a little bit closer.
Once you start getting closer to it,
a ring of spit around the character's mouth.
Oh yeah.
No, it's a wet image, and you might not notice that at first glance.
A wimage, if you will.
Also, this character has 2B's hairstyle.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and like, just like it's a blonde bob. I think a lot of people have like a platinum blonde bob.
Yeah, and a thing I really enjoy with characters, which is like modeled skin, but the modeling includes like recognizable shapes, like stars on the shoulders, and a little paw print on the butt.
Yeah,
a little heart shaped ass, almost as if like someone has ripped their tights, but it's just the skin coloration.
Oh sure, yeah.
Yeah, no, I like this one.
Yeah. This is good. Behorse penis. I was proud of Behorse penis.
Yes, and the thing I'm trying to get with, I don't know if you can tell from this first one, but we're going to be talking about ball worship.
Okay.
So let me open up number one, number two.
What do we got here? Yay!
I'll get in on this. Yes, we have Renamon once again. This one's a very big Renamon. She's like the lower... Her leg is about as tall as the women working with her.
Yeah, so they're on their knees. I would imagine like an adult woman on her knees probably comes to about 4 or so feet.
Yeah, so 4 feet for the like their her legs up to the knee.
Yeah,
and she's sitting down.
So then imagine that it's like another 4 feet up to the hip, and then probably another 4 or so. To like the mid chest, and then from mid chest to head,
you could stack three women up and just about reach your ears,
at least.
What we have going on here is this Renamon sitting on a table. She's got huge tits, big feet,
big fluffy tail. And the girl's got big fucking dumpers.
A little bit of bimbo lips and heavy eyelashes going.
Oh yeah.
She is just delighting in the fact that there are two women underneath her, one fully undressed, the other one with just a shirt on, both of which appear to have very wide hips and dumpy, and they have their faces pressed directly into her heavy ass fox nuts, the huge orbs, and they're worshiping the shit out of it,
Her tail is very fluffy and huge. Her big fox tail.
Yeah, it's so fluffy. I love that element of this drawing.
I really dig that.
Her fur tufts are like all over, very detailed.
Yeah. I like that you were just leaning in real close. You were like, what is that? What am I seeing?
I'm trying to make out details, okay? I forgot zooming exists on computers. I'm getting old.
I too.
There's a lot of detail in this.
The artist likes feeties too, because you can see very detailed foot drawing on the one girl with the big dumper.
Yep. You can see like a front foot on the back gal. And of course, you can see Renamon's big old digigrade feeders.
Yeah.
Front and center. Those dogs are, in fact, barking. Or rather, I should say, those foxes are yelping.
Man, my foxes is yelping.
That's for when you have fucking. Eczema.
Oh no.
They're yelping in pain. Anyway. Yeah.
Very puffy nips. Yeah.
Very puffy nips. So both of these images, first of all, love this one. But both the ones I picked today are actually really fucking hot. I wanted to dig into ball worship as a thing here.
Okay.
Because it's already kind of a confluence of multiple things. You can come from a place of degradation or control, right? Depending on if you're being made to worship nuts, or if you're just like going in on them because your sub has a quality that you want to praise and go after. And there's the sweat element, right? Your thigh space in general can end up a very sweaty place. Your nuts in particular can kind of baste in it if you've been sweating for a day. You know, you're getting that kind of like marinated
musty
ball.
Balls.
You're getting a very concentrated musk. Sorry, and that can really appeal to some people. It's true. I'm kind of on and off personally.
Yeah. It depends on my sweat. Mood. Quite
it depends
a bit.
On the person. It depends on my mood. I'm just gonna put this out there into the world. I would die for Lilith's sweat. Her armpit makes me feel at home.
Oh.
I like get up in there and I'm like, I feel better.
Oh, don't make me move. That's so good. That's
so she's
sweet.
Like, it's stinky though. Why? And I'm like, home. It's a very silly reflex, but it's just how it is.
There's a line in one of the RFTB outro songs we used, Stephanie, where the closing line that we would have, like, it the song goes on after it, but the line that we ended on goes, my blanket makes me feel at home. Her armpit makes me feel at home.
Oh. Wait. I wanted to touch on something that I've never seen in porn, drawn or otherwise, and I think we need like post orchiectomy scrotum worship.
Interesting.
Because having played with a ballless scrotum,
sure,
it's the most fun shit in the world. It's like
it's
fucking
cool.
It's like having taffy on a purse and he's yoing, yoing, yoing. You can stretch it over, like stretch it back over the penis like a big old sleeping bag. You can pull it out, make kind of a bat wing shape.
The bat wing's fun,
delightful. As someone who loves to just kind of go a little bit regressy and stim with genitalia in a not necessarily sexual way,
sure,
it's great. I love them. And
I want to do
within a sexual context, very fun to just like easily put the whole dang thing in your mouth.
Yeah, that little piece of chewed bubble gum.
Yeah,
I want to get the one where it's like kind of tight to it. You know what I mean? Where like most of the scrotum
where it just
kind of
pulls you back,
like
pulls
flat,
it back up against the
like
the outline
on the bottom.
Of perineum.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's hot.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no artists out. Any artists listening? Fucking get out there, get some puppy girl post orchiectomy ball worship. That sounds fucking awesome.
Puppy girl specifically because they get neutered.
Well, yeah, they get neutered. On the taffy.
Hell yeah. I think it's important now that we name our digital champion.
Absolutely, Audrey. I'm gonna have to give it to Gabumon for showing up for 5 seconds and being the goat.
Yep. Giving them all the information they need. He's over there. Also, he has a soul. Agumon was telling me he's got a soul. And I believe him.
He's my bro.
He has no reason to lie to me.
He's my fucking DNA Digivolution bro.
Yeah. You know how you
brogress.
Guys... You know how you guys brogress? We were brogressing back in the 90s.
Back in the fucking movie. Don't even try.
Don't even fuck with me.
Don't even step up to us.
Can't even fuck with me.
What's that fucking Tim Naos and whatever his name, the like four-color gay partners.
Athria? No, that's the fucking death god.
If I look up four-color gay commander, I immediately... Kineos and... Kineos and Tiro of Miletus.
Yeah, Kineos
and Tiro. That's Agumon and Gabumon in Magic.
The four-color gay commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. That card's fucking awesome.
It is! It's a fucking, it's a four-color group hug piece. But it's also not our digital champion.
That's true. I am now looking at an art collection for Sapphic Magic the Gathering characters. Like, canonically lesbian characters.
Oh yeah, does Scryfall have a lesbian tag?
You can actually, under illustration contains
Sapphic. It does!
Yeah.
Art colon lesbian works on Scryfall. Gays stay winning.
You get Adeline, you get,
Who's this
god, elf bitch? Corla.
What?
This Gilded Lotus art is so good, I'm gonna show it to you. Copy image address. This fucking image is probably... Oh, the link's not that gnarly.
Who's the lesbian elf? I need to know. Who is that Nyssa character? That's Nyssa. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Nyssa Ravain and, Chandra. Canonical lovers.
Oh, Eshki apparently is a lesbian.
Yashki's a lesbian, absolutely. There's a lot of homos.
Imagine getting outed by your magic card.
Here's one. There's a...
What the...
Who's in this one? Lena. On Go Ninja Go.
Go is Ninja, the Foot Clan Go guy Ninja,
gay?
Go.
Or is the, or is the orange... Who's the orange ninja turtle?
Is that Michael? Is that Michelangelo? Mikey?
Michelangelo.
Is Michelangelo a lesbian?
Turtle gay. Michelangelo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is generally depicted as heterosexual, often having romantic interest in female characters like Renee. While some fans explore queer interpretations of the character, and a 2022 IDW comic featured a pride parade image, he is not canonically gay in the franchise. This may be a misunderstanding.
I guess it's the foot.
Maybe the Foot Clan guy's gay. You can be a gay henchman. That's allowed.
That's allowed.
My digital champion is the gay henchman.
He, him, lesbian foot ninja.
Yes.
Go ninja, go. And by
go ninja, by go ninja, to I the bathhouse. Go to the bathhouse and suck as many dicks as you can find.
Who's your digital champion, darling?
Gay Foot Clan. No, I'm gonna... I guess if I gotta keep it within the episode, I guess I'm gonna go with TK for having night sweats. Because I relate to that so fucking much. You ever wake up real sweaty in the middle of the night? Like, you're fucking... You've been drooling into your pillow, and then your fucking head's all sweaty, and get the fucking stress, like the cortisol sweat smell.
Yeah.
Sucks.
You just kind of got to hug whoever's with you.
Yeah, Finsley.
I feel that. Oh, I figured it out, by the way. That's not Mikey. That's a turtle named Jenica. I'm going to drop a picture in here.
Oh, yeah, Jenica. Also known as Jen or Jenny.
Splinter said that once ninjas defended the poor and the weak from power. We could be real ninjas. We can fight for the people. Based lesbian turtle.
Holy shit.
Okay, Jenica, I may need to make a Jenica deck just because she's this based.
Of the IDW Publishing's ongoing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle series published in 2015, a franchise co-creator Kevin Eastman said of the character, "What was interesting when we evolved into the character Jenica, my focus was on the comic books with Tom Waltz and IDW, and it's always story first, story centric. So we introduced a character in issue 51 named Jenica. We really like her, and we knew that if fans liked her as much as we did, she could continue as part of the family. She got more and more popular, and so about 30 issues, we wanted to evolve her into this female turtle character."
She's in a lot of these TMNT cards, actually.
That's so cool. Well, that makes sense, because Magic is fucking... I don't know if you know this. Chuds! It's a gay fucking game. And you're the one who's wrong. You're the one who's an asshole for showing up at the LGS and making fun of the trans people. You're wrong. You haven't won. There is no ground for you to stand on for being homophobic or transphobic in this fucking community. And all the chuds can suck my fucking dick.
Yep. Right there with you.
Gay fucking game. Incredibly gay game.
Who's Rutha? Orc shaman. Okay, we have a lesbian orc.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right.
Lesbian orc.
She's already
fucked the turtle. That'd be awesome.
Blue and red, which is unfortunate because I would love to do like for the pride event thing. I could do Rutha and Obeka, but that doesn't open up any new colors. But then we can have orc lesbians with the plural.
Yeah. Obeka, splitter of seconds. 4-mana Grixis Ogre Warlock, who is a lesbian. Hell yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Love you.
I love you.
And I love this show. And I love you for tuning in, folks. I'm going to tell you where to find my shit. I'm going to tell you where to find what I got going on. I got another podcast. It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. You can find it anywhere you find your podcasts or rftb.me. We do goofy relationship advice with a fun, heartfelt twist. Additionally, I have a new thing that I mentioned earlier. It's the Twitch stream for DJ Zero PIX. That's DJ Hole Picks on Twitch. You can follow me there. Mish was tuning in last night to the stream, having a good time, like listening to some tunes and shit. Somebody said that I was giving early PS1 vibes with much of the music choices, and I was like, that's what's up. That's my whole deal.
Oh, did you play the Front Mission fucking shop song?
No, but I should.
In that's your heart, SNES, you are always SNES. Playing the Front Mission shop theme.
That's from SNES.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can fucking nibble on my taffy about it.
So check that out. Follow the stream. Get notified when I'm about to play some tunes. Will you plug in?
I'm going to plug Post Ponies. I got another little podcast talking about a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, as well as the rise of American fascism. Gets more relevant every day.
State of the Union last night.
I don't know when the episode is going to be out, but we recorded a fantastic one with a great guest who I loved having around.
Yay.
And who I got to bring over here soon, too.
Oh, yeah.
We had a grand old time. Every episode is a fantastic little romp of just four very horny women, like trans women's id. Also, sometimes we talk about, every time we talk about Kamen Rider for reasons that are beyond my ken, but it enriches the show. So
it's great. I love how it gets to the plugs and Ruby just goes, so I've been watching Kamen Rider, whatever, this series of Kamen Rider, and in this one happens, and then this other guy does this thing, and it's just like, all right, Aki.
That's a great bit. I fucking love it to death.
It's good.
But yeah, you can find us anywhere that you're listening to this podcast, and at smallgayhorse.com.
Gotta check it out. At least for the branding, come on.
It's perfect. So the logo is perfect. The naming is perfect.
Theme song blows theme my song. Shit out of the water. It's
good. Anosai does some amazing work.
Yeah, so fucking sick. Well, that's all we came here to do, except for reading the patron shout out.
Yay. All right, so we have Gigi Savage, Bubba Nitro, Teresa, Maya, Waylon the Sprite Smith, Mish, Pablo Hummus, Jubilation Lee, This Penguin is Renamon Butt Gregnet, parentheses cat, Saturday's Claire, Asa/Anya, The Worst of All Possible Worlds, Hex Meowniac, Ember Saffron, Kitty Sparks, Arukenimon, parentheses real.
Thank you so much for supporting us at the Digidestin tier. You genuinely are very cool to us, and we love you very much. And you're the Digi in our mind. I have to check. We did get another patron at some point. I have to see if they joined at the three. Yeah, they did. You did not ask for a shout out and you did not actually pay for one, so you're not going to get one. But there's a new patron, which we love very much. So
we still appreciate you being part of the community.
Yes, absolutely. Also, I don't want to say your name on here in case you didn't want your name to be said on here, and that's why you didn't pledge at $5.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
Reach out.
Thank you. Thank you for that. A phantom shout out for that person.
For a person.
Yeah. This was great. And what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, like, that we gotta build some kind of complex ARG around a phantom Patreon subscriber.
I like that. I also like you, and I like the listeners, and I like this show. And I hope that you get out there this week and you just go and fucking buy the products.